I've got nothing to say. I am not going to speak until the private feed. Why, happy to smile.
Why is that? Yeah. You've got a different smile, Trevor.
Shut up. You have to watch
you
the private feed.
You've got to watch the private feed.
It's the first time the there's something joke. Visual yeah. to really play on the in-joke that's going to be revealed during
in
the
fact,
private feed.
Yeah, watch the private feed this week because we're going to show you something. We're going to reveal something.
Hmm.
Is that right? What a teaser. Isn't that a good teaser?
That's a great teaser.
Boom. Great teaser. So how's your week, mate? You been okay?
Yeah, it's been fine. Yeah, busy.
Yeah.
Into it. All good. Yeah, happy days.
Our footy teams aren't doing too good. We'll talk about more about that in the
mate,
private
mine's
feed.
Mine's at the top of the show. You
changed to the Dolphins. I forgot.
I changed to the Dolphins.
He changed to the Dolphins.
Openly?
Yeah. Last year he did it. Because Trevor claims to be a Queenslander.
I was
How long did you live in Queensland for?
From
30 minutes?
I started school and went all the way to year five. So my formative
5 years.
Years.
5 years in Queensland.
Formative.
Formative years. So you call yourself a Queenslander?
100%.
Wow.
And I lived in Redcliffe, on the Redcliffe Peninsula.
Okay,
at
so that's
Woody
why,
Point and went to Humpty Bong State School.
Humpty Bong.
And, you know, I know what Kippering Shopping Centre is. Trust me, I'm a dolphin.
Okay. Well, that's fine.
Okay.
That's
I used
fine.
To live next door to the Pigeon Lady, okay? A Current Affair used to do stories on this wild, old...
Really?
Drab, like looked homeless, but lived in a house that looked like it had never been painted or looked after and was thousands of pigeons. Yeah. Literally was on TV
Can
news.
Can I ask, right, you know, you're on TV regularly now. Mm. When you were a kid, were you ever on TV when you were a kid? Were you like in the background or something?
No.
Or?
No.
I snuck on TV when...
snuck on TV?
Oh, yeah, like at the footy, you know, you'd say, oh, there's me. You know, you see the cameras, you wave around like an idiot, right? Mm. And I remember 1 year, it was 1986, and I was at Redfern Oval watching South play. My brother was the first grade captain, and they beat Manly, and it was a big deal. They made the semi-finals. It was a big game. And I'm you know, Mario's brother, and I was in there, and I was sort of just on the inside of the ground. And I thought George Piggins was just sitting there, and at full time, the camera's there, and I've gone up and shaken George Piggins' hand
right
in front of everyone, like right there, and you know, clapping and shaking his hand. It's just a blatant way to get on TV.
Wow.
And mate, I'll show you that clip. I'll show it to you. And they'll say, there's me.
Have you still got it?
Yeah.
It's on
YouTube. You can see it. Like, this was a big game that Souths won, and the footage on me on the sideline.
I'm going to say, this is going to sound ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
But I essentially foreshadowed YouTube.
What?
I saw it coming and didn't take advantage of it, obviously. I used to, and I'm talking, this would be year, it's in Griffith, so 8 and 9 maybe 7 and 8.
Yeah.
I used to.
Trevor was a big nerd, by the way.
Yep. I used to
big computer
imagine
nerd.
In my mind, and I think I used to draw and sketch Trev TV.
Trev TV.
And this is wild, I would review products.
What?
I'm actually only just remembering,
mate, you
but mate.
You could have been gadgets. MKBHD.
I'd be in the bathroom looking at a thing of shampoo going, well, this has got hydrochloric alkali on it, you know. And like, I don't know why.
So products,
I don't know what in my
tech,
head.
Not
no,
tech,
not tech, just anything.
So you want to be like a TV
Maybe
talent.
I was watching too much TVSN.
Price
or,
is Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
I used to love The Price is Right.
Price is Right was great.
Great show.
Yeah. I used to enjoy the
Trev TV,
the
mate.
Models were great on the Price is Right. Were they beautiful?
I didn't notice.
Yeah.
Didn't care.
Yeah, I was at that age.
Trev TV,
you know?
and then I sold that business and went to Trev's Tours. And I used to draw. I used to draw buses.
Really?
I used to draw buses, like
so
coaches,
sort of trying to visualize
really cool coaches. And,
really?
You know,
so hang on. So when did the tech come into this? Like, weren't you?
I was
coding by then.
I was
writing BASIC
and
stuff.
64 and stuff. Yeah, for sure.
So when your mates are out getting on the drink and chasing girls, you were in there doing your BASIC programming. Where?
Yep. We go to a big party and they're all getting on it. And I'm like, I've got a new mixtape with a rocket ship sound effect at the end.
I'm going to go play on my Commodore 64.
Record all the songs off the radio, and then at the end, record on the Commodore 64 a rocket taping.
Mate,
off.
I remember, I got to say,
wow.
I was as big a nerd as you were in high school. I used to book the, we had a couple of Commodore pets in the school library. Remember those?
No.
They had the sort of the
remember,
white
I'm
screen.
Much younger than you.
White screen with a keyboard. It was like an all-in-one computer and had a tape loader.
Yep.
So it was all-in-one. It was the predecessor to the Commodore 64 was more the consumer version without the monitor.
Right.
And I used to book it for lunchtime. So we'd go in there, press, there'd be a little poker. You play poker.
Yeah.
and you'd be take 15 minutes for this thing to load.
Yeah.
And then all lunchtime you'd be in there playing the game. Yeah, that was my entire lunchtime.
You'd have your mates around on the weekend and you'd load up Arnie's armchair cricket, which would take an hour and a half to load. So you'd have to go and play a game of cricket in the backyard.
Yeah.
And then come in, and it got to, you remember how long on to go counter. On the loading because of the counter?
I'd write it down.
And so you'd know it's got to get to 6:23 before it's going to load Arnie's armchair cricket. And so you come back in, it's still at 400, we'll have another game.
I used to do that with Helicopter Rescue. There was a game on the Commodore 64, and it would dead set take half an hour, and you'd be out the back kick of the footy and think, oh, hang on, let's go check it, and then it'd be ready to go.
And you play, play Arnie's armchair cricket, and America's Cup was another one, really long load times, over and out. And you'd play it for 20 minutes, that's enough.
Yeah, so your play time was shorter than the load time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Crazy.
What am I doing here?
Yeah.
All right, it's time to do this.
Welcome to Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Not a bad price.
With Trevor Long from EFTM.com.
Really handy device.
And Stephen Fennec from techguide.com.au.
Have you not watched the show back?
Yeah, that's the credits are rolling. Yeah. I'm pointing at Trevor and pointing at myself, but the credits
works
are
works in the EV show, but not here.
I noticed that our images, our videos are reversed. Did you know that?
You want
that? The videos are reversed.
What are you talking
I'm wearing about? A shirt and my video, it's back to front. You made me looking the other way. You didn't notice that?
Every week?
Yeah. That's how the video was made.
What are you talking about?
So the video, when you see me, I'm wearing
intro.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant the whole
show. No, the intro.
Well, I didn't make the intro. I just, someone else did that.
That's what it is, mate. It's back to front. Because I'm looking this way and I've got my logos on here, my South shirt on.
Okay. Yeah. Mate, can I tell you how many people care about that?
One.
Yep. You.
Just me.
Episode 628 of Two Blokes Talking Tech. Thanks to the great people at Netgear and Arlo for your home networking needs. Netgear's got you covered. And for home security, nothing better than Arlo in the market. Stephen, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about LG launching their 2024 TV range, and TV season continues with...
Does it ever.
Samsung knocking it out of the park and Hisense following quickly with their pricing. So I just want to talk quickly about how Samsung did this, because I got to say, the best thing I've seen in Australia in tech was the way they presented this.
Yeah,
don't you think it was impressive?
So at the machine hall in the
forget
city.
Where it was, they made it look like CES.
They did a bit, eh? Yeah.
It was, mate,
they've done that before.
No, but not on this scale.
Not to this extent.
This was better.
Yeah.
In terms of looking at their broad product range, this was better than going to their standard CES.
Well, the standard CES doesn't have TVs, remember?
No.
So they have, the pre-show.
The
the pre-show.
Mm.
And they have the something at Caesars, remember? I'm
talking about their standard CES.
Yeah,
this is unbelievable. Yeah. This is such a good thing.
With all the different scenarios that we're talking about.
Yeah, like if you didn't go to CES,
this
was a perfect introduction to it. Okay. So they did a great job. I think they spent a lot of money because it was really
well put together. Yeah.
Separating their TV launch into, sport and movies and sound and all that kind of stuff. But also, I think they did a very good job of, and LG did too, but theirs was just TVs in a room. And no disrespect to that. Well, they chose an amazing venue.
Their TVs were
Allianz Stadium.
Allianz Stadium,
But this was real.
You know what? They told
education.
A story. Mm. The story they told was they've got a TV for every lifestyle, every taste that you have, whether you're a sport fan, movie fan, gamer.
Yeah.
And they said, they also were told a story about how the TVs can fit anywhere in your house.
Yeah.
So I think, tick, tick, tick for all of those, because one of those is going to interest someone, their lifestyle, their interest, where they're going to have the TV. So even before you've even talked about the features, they've already hooked you in with this whole enticing range.
And you've spoken to Jeremy Senior on the Tech Guide podcast.
So that'll
be next week?
That's next Monday. Yeah, my Tech Guide podcast. So Jeremy Senior is the vice president in charge of consumer electronics.
TVs and appliances.
And we have a chat about the range and sort of the market as well, more about the market as well. Mm. And we talk about some features. We sort of dive deep into some features.
I'm pretty honest with these people. I don't beat around the bush much.
Yes.
And I was like, okay, you're going to talk about AI till the cows come home here. And I get that.
Yeah.
But I wanted to make the point to Jeremy and others that I think we've got to be careful about using the term AI today because of the way AI has grown and been learned by the average general public. You know, it's now a different thing to what it was 5 years ago. And so AI in a TV isn't really what you think it's going to be. It's not, TV's going to pick a show for you or help you. It's more about what the TV's capabilities are powered by AI.
Improving, like reacting to your environment, but also upscaling.
Well, I was going to say, the best example of that is upscaling.
Yeah.
But let's be real. We've been talking about AI upscaling for years.
When we were at the headquarters of
Samsung, we talked about machine learning and how AI was being used to create a model that allowed them to upscale. The great point one of them made to me at Samsung was, if you take a picture and then put it on a bigger TV, normally it's stretched.
Yeah.
But what they do is they expand the pixels and fill the gap between the pixels with something
stretch.
Else.
Yeah.
And that's a different way of explaining how they make an 8K picture, let alone a really big 4K picture, look good.
And that's AI processor too has a lot to do with it. So that does all the heavy lifting. So it's interesting, even with Samsung, we'll talk about Hisense later, but at the heart of their TVs is a processor. It's become like the computer, how we talk about computers, powered by this processor, because it's got to do so much processing. But on the AI side, I think that, there's a lot of improvements. Because the goal of a TV company is to improve picture, improve sound quality, improve the experience.
Yeah.
And if AI can do that, I think Samsung's got they're telling a great story here with the processor, the features that can enhance the video and the audio quality.
I don't think we give enough credit to the ability of a TV. Because I was thinking about this standing there. Yep. I might have tuned out a little bit when they were talking because I'm thinking, okay, so I'm watching I choose the content I'm going to watch. The TV has no idea. I could plug a USB stick in. I could bring in a drive, whatever. And frame by frame, 25, 60, whatever number of frames per second, the TV is going, oh, here's the picture. Oh, it's got to do this. And then here, that. Like,
it should look like this.
It's doing all of that.
Yeah.
In fractions of a second,
that needs power,
repeatedly
yeah.
for every second of every minute of every hour of and content you watch.
And in 8K resolution.
In real time.
Yeah. Which is, requires massive power. Yeah.
Remember when digital radio first came out? I was working in radio at the time, and the big blow up because you're at the footy and listen to digital radio and it's like 10 seconds behind.
Yeah.
Because with digital radio, you encode, when it comes out of the commentator's mouth, it gets encoded into digital, sent out the antenna, and then in the radio it gets received and decoded, and that takes, 5 seconds there, 5 seconds there.
Yeah.
That's why. Yeah. Whereas we're watching TV, and it's going, oh, you're watching something in standard definition? Let me improve that for you.
Yeah.
Up to 8K, and I'll do it frame by frame as you watch it. Don't you think that's mind-blowing?
Absolutely remarkable. And the good thing, like 8K, there's not a lot of 8K content, right? Hardly any, but what this does, it takes your content, whether you're watching free-to-air, YouTube, Blu-ray, 4K, and upscales it. So I've watched Star Wars and all that, and it does make it look, you're thinking, wow, that's detailed, isn't there? And the AI, the heavy lifting the AI is doing those little fill-ins. So, okay, that's a horse. So here's what a horse should look like, and it fills in the little gap. So, and that's happening in real time. And instantly before your eyes, before your eyes.
Some of the powerful moments for that are things like sport, making sure the blur of a ball flying through the air
isn't
there.
Well, can't it detect the ball? Can't it detect the shape and size of a ball and think, okay, he's watching sport or she's watching sport.
And a little round white dot.
Yeah. Dead giveaway. That's
definitely
sport.
It's going to be sport.
And so it flicks it into sport mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it also helps smooth all that out.
So rather than having the juddering, I think they were talking about the ball is smooth through the whole motion. Yeah.
The one thing, this is random, my almost favourite thing was the...
Can I guess what you're going to say? The voice enhancer.
No.
No? Okay.
Anti-glare on the OLEDs.
Okay.
Like when you stand side onto an OLED in a bright environment, like even looking at their Neo QLED here.
That had a good example of that, didn't they?
I can see the reflection. Look at that TV over there. You can see the reflection. You put an anti-glare on that, that reflection dulls out. It doesn't disappear. Yep. It dulls out. And, mate, it was a great demo.
It was a good demo
of that technology.
Because OLED in Samsung's mindset with OLED is that it's not as bright, and it isn't as bright as their Neo QLED, which is the QLED still their flagship product.
Yeah.
And the reason it's not needed on a QLED is because of the brightness. It's super bright anyway, so reflections you're not going to see them because it's so bright. But with the OLED, they have the anti-glare on the OLED TVs to maintain the brightness and the color and the black levels, because they're not quite as bright as
as their QLED TVs. And the example out there where they display the new TVs, I think they had like a fake window just near the TVs, and there were two, last year's model, this year's model. The difference was night and day. It was amazing.
It was. Yeah. Now,
but I want to talk about the voice enhancer. Oh, yeah, the voice enhancer. So this is a thing. Haven't you heard some of your listeners and readers might say, you know what, I can't hear very well out of the TV.
Yeah.
What Samsung's come up with is a voice amplifier, active voice amplifier pro. And what it can do, it can actually extract the dialogue from the TV show or movie you're watching and enhance it so that it can actually can be heard above the background noise.
Mm.
So say someone's mowing the lawn outside or someone's vacuuming or using the blender in the kitchen or something, you can still hear the voices above all that sound.
Yeah.
So it extracts it. And that's a game changer, I think, for a lot of viewers will buy it for that very feature.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They want to hear it properly.
It's simple things like that.
Yeah.
Because, and you've had to kind of say this a fair bit lately, but it really doesn't matter how these TVs differ to last year. It matters because there's changes.
Yeah.
What matters is how vastly different they'll be for someone who's buying from 5 years ago,
seven years ago,
because that's the market.
It's the smartphone argument. You know, when Apple releases the iPhone 15, it's not much of a difference from last year, but last year's customer's not going to buy that one. If you've got an iPhone 10, you're going to probably buy the 15. Just the same for these ones. And in my interview with Jeremy, I said, look, how easy are you going to make for customers to know what to look for here if they haven't bought a TV for 8 years? This is all foreign to them.
I think the biggest shock today will be the operating system.
Yeah.
They look vastly different.
Yeah, they do.
Every app, every menu, just the fact that when you click the button, it doesn't come up on the bottom. It's the whole screen now on home and stuff like that. It's a very different process.
Exactly. And Samsung, by the way, have been a top global manufacturer for 18 years in a row.
Mm. Pretty good. Just quietly back on OLED.
Yeah,
let's be real. They talk about all the, you know, they think this and they've anti-glared that. But in the end, they need to be in the OLED space because LG is dominating.
LG's
killing
they've
been there 11 years. Sony's doing it as well, but they're using LG panels.
Yes.
LG dominate OLED. And let's be real. Whenever you read the best eyes, like Stephen's, you know, high-end TV reviews, will always tell you OLED's the best technology,
definitely,
right?
Yeah, definitely.
So if you asked and you're pushed, we'll always say OLED's best. So I said to someone this week, look, it depends on your budget, range of things. I personally would every day of the week get the Neo QLED because of the look of the TV.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's
sleek.
Borderless. It's unbelievable. Yeah, and no one has been able to do anything like that.
And the Neo QLED quality is, mate, it's not far off OLED.
It's bloody close.
It's really good.
But it's not OLED quality, right? No. And so Samsung knows that. And so when they see that OLED is listed as being the best picture quality available, they have to be in that space.
Yeah, true.
And that's why they're in that
space. Have you ever heard LG saying anything about their brightness of their OLEDs?
No.
Never. Like, I reviewed the Samsung OLED and I'm going to do the new one in a week or so. You could put this in the brightest room in your house. It's still great.
Yeah.
It's not.
We're talking about computer measured brightness.
Yeah, I know. But Samsung still want to preserve Neo QLED as the hero product, right?
Yeah, which is why they'll keep pushing the boundary on brightness.
And it's also why the Neo QLED have the biggest sizes, 98 inch.
Yes.
You're not going to get it. I think the biggest OLED you can buy from Samsung is 77 inch.
Yes.
So that's, again, another – they're preserving the flagship as Neo QLED. Mm. And fair enough. LG have – their OLEDs are the flagships.
Yes.
And there's never once been – and, mate, I've had an OLED, LG OLED. I've got one in my office and one in my bedroom. Never, ever, ever have I said that TV is not bright enough.
Let's talk about size. LG talked about 40% of TVs being 75 inches or more. Samsung said to me that in last year, 85 inches became the average size in Australian homes. And they did some research. 85 inches is also the fastest growing screen size.
Yep.
But here's the one that I love. They talk to anyone who owns a 75-inch TV or bigger, so big screen owners.
Yep.
95% of big screen owners love their TV.
Yeah.
The other 5% wish they went bigger.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, this just establishes.
I don't like it.
Our
I love
continual,
it.
Buddy, go big or go home.
Exactly, mate.
You're
exactly.
mad if but, the first thing you do isn't measure the space.
And I did put this on Jeremy in my interview. Why couldn't they just go? It's 98 inches, their biggest TV. I said, why didn't you just go the extra two? Go the extra two to 100, mate.
What does he say, spoiler?
He said, big enough.
It's factory based.
Yeah. a lot of those factors. But the point was also they made was the fact that they're going to offer 98 inch in a range of models. So basically, reading between the lines, they're going to offer a Crystal UHD 98 inch. So they're affordable 98 inch.
Yeah.
Then they're also going to offer one, of course, in 4K and 8K QLED as well.
Yeah.
So the story there is that a 98 inch TV at all price points.
Yeah.
Basically. So yeah, size is important. Can we switch off TVs for a second and talk about the music frame?
Yes.
Great product. You saw it. We saw it at CES.
I didn't.
Didn't you see it? Well, I glanced at CES, and I initially thought that it was a digital frame.
I didn't go to the pre-show event, and it wasn't at the show.
Yeah. No, I saw it. Where did I see it then at CES? Sure, it was on the stand.
It was not at the stand.
Well, I saw it. I think it was might have been – anyway, I initially thought it was a digital frame, and it's not a digital frame. It's a proper frame. You put actually a physical picture in there, but it's a speaker.
Hmm.
And the inspiration from that was from the frame television. So the frame, when it's a TV, is a TV, right? Great QLED TV. When it's not a TV, it's a frame.
I was so confused by this at CES because I assumed it was like
dial-up. I thought it was a digital frame.
I thought you're on Spotify and it uses the album art to fill the screen.
Yeah.
That's what I thought. It's not. It would have been
a big screen.
Or you order for about $100, you order
like an
you
acrylic
upload a
thing,
photo and they or an album or something, and they send it to you, right?
Yeah.
Now, that's $100 to get that done. It's like $50 plus shipping. So let's just call it $100, right? The frame costs $750.
Yeah.
The music frame.
But it's, you know what? It's a good speaker, though. It sounds
pretty good,
pretty good. And I love how in this setup where we saw the TVs, they had the frame TV and on either side
left
they had
right.
the frame music frames. So it was the speakers for the TV.
Set as left and right.
Yeah.
Or they had another TV which
rear,
just had
as
five
rears.
Of them around.
Yeah.
So they I were, don't yeah, think they were set up as rear.
Well, you can set them up as rear speakers if you want.
But not left and right rears. They can just be a rear.
So just generic
a rear
rears.
Emulation, I was
really?
Told.
Really? Okay, right.
So I don't think you can set up a
5.1,
so
not as good
okay?
as a soundbar rear speakers.
No, definitely
right.
not.
Okay.
Now, I look at it and I go, look, $750, it's a bit much.
Yep.
But here's how Jeremy sold me on it, again, because he's a salesman. That's probably why he did it. But you think of the person buying a Samsung frame TV.
Yeah.
It's actually not Samsung's best quality TV.
Yeah.
It just looks
nice.
It
yeah.
fits the purpose.
Yep.
Now, if you're that person, do you want a big, black, ugly soundbar on the bench below it or
no.
on the wall below it?
No.
How would you prefer two beautiful frames with your choice of albums or pictures or photos or whatever in them?
Yeah.
My only thought is, and I look forward to someone with acoustic tendencies to review it, because it's a frame. And then inside that, let's call it a 5mm gap, is your acrylic. So there's a 5mm gap for the audio to come out.
I reckon.
Isn't there some muffling? Isn't it better to have a direct speaker at you?
I reckon the middle part. And I haven't seen it yet. I'm getting one for review. But the middle of it. Isn't there any?
Nope.
Are they sort of firing in the middle, so towards each other?
Nope.
Okay. Can you remember like
it's
Sonos?
Firing outside.
The Sonos subwoofer. Remember how in the middle it had the two speakers firing against each other? In the middle, it doesn't have that in the guts of the thing. I'm going to have to. I heard it briefly at the event, but haven't want to sit down
Look,
and listen to it
they
properly.
They told me it's engineered to send the sound out that gap.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just a very small gap.
Yeah, right.
When you think of a speaker, you think of this thing with a big round speaker that sends the audio out to you.
Yeah.
Whereas this is like putting an grill in front of it. No.
Yeah, right. Well, you know what? There's technology where, you know, remember Sony had the TV, the sound comes from the screen?
Yeah.
So is that sort of similar to that?
No.
Or?
Because it's
looking
an acrylic thing that
it.
Clips on. I pulled it off. It's
right.
Just four
unless
plastic
it fires,
clips.
Unless it fires out and up around like a TV does, but
Pretty
in better
much.
Quality.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have to review it.
I think it would have been at $999 a better product if it was a digital display.
But then
played
does that,
your album
does that,
art.
Well, that it'll make it a lot more expensive than that, wouldn't it?
Well, I'm just saying that's where I would have put that price.
It.
I think 749 is expensive.
Yeah.
For what this is.
Okay. So you prefer to have it a digital screen while you're at it, have it a digital screen.
Yeah, and pay a little tiny bit more.
But that then becomes a little mini frame TV, doesn't it?
Its capabilities are. But that's great.
Yeah.
Imagine it's beside your TV, and when you play music, it plays the album art.
Yeah.
And when you're playing music, it shows more artwork.
Maybe.
Or photos that you take.
I think Samsung wanted to have a distinction between the frame TV and the music frame.
100%. I get it. But I'm still confused
by
it.
Plus, cost would have been.
And
it would have cost a lot more than $999.
For $750, you can get a Sonos
It's a
one.
Decent size, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, what would it be? Sort of about 12 inches, like a foot?
don't know, like 35 centimetres,
36 centimetres. 30 centimetres is 12 inches, right? So it was about that big.
What are the JBL Authentics? They're like, for $750, you can get the mid-range JBL Authentics.
Yeah, they're great.
That's a nice looking speaker and a way better speaker.
And you can carry, what's the one you can carry around, the 300? You can carry that around? Yeah, that's a great speaker.
If I'm buying a speaker.
Yeah. I've just received actually the turn, the spinner, and I'm going to connect it to the Authentics to create a retro sound.
It's a really good sound.
Yeah, it's cool.
Best, anyway, don't go to JBL.
But so Samsung, and now, what about pricing? Yeah, that's price pricing. Wise,
so remember, LG's prices were definitely lower. Not every dollar, but you know, especially in the mid to high end. So 65-inch LG, I found one that was $600 less.
Yeah.
An 86-inch LG, I found one that was $1,300 less, right? Yeah. Now, 85-inch 60D QLED.
Yep.
So that's like a mid to low range QLED for them.
Yep.
85 inches. Last year, RRP was 4,619.
Yeah.
This year, 3,795. $820 less.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
So this is Samsung. The QN800ED.
No, 85-inch 60D.
Okay.
Now the 85-inch Neo QLED 4K.
Yep.
85 inch last year was $7,000.
Yep.
This year, $5,500.
Wow.
$1,500 difference.
I don't think LG could have gone in the market with prices that are lower than last year, and Samsung could not have followed them in. They could not do that.
That's why I think they leaked them online and had them on sales.
So remember,
and
we spoke about them a few weeks ago. You had them on EFTM. They were on JB's website.
I think that's why they had to do that, because they were worried about LG getting their head on them.
Okay.
But let's give them credit. The prices are better.
It's great. Value.
Yeah.
The value you're getting. So technically a better TV and cheaper, and again, goes against what we've always said. Look for last year's model if you want a bargain. Actually, look for this year's model if you want a bargain.
In the run out, it could be quite wild, the discount on last year's TV.
True, could be well ahead of that.
Because you've got to remember, this is all playing up to a mid-July absolute sensation on TV sales because of the Olympics.
Yeah, true. And they did mention that, that sales, I think they mentioned before the footy finals last year, they had like a 25% jump in sales for that particular period.
No doubt.
Great excuse to get a new TV, don't you reckon? Hey, love.
Always.
Let's get a new telly. The footy finals are coming. Or the Olympics are coming up. What would be cheaper? We go to Paris to watch the Olympics or buy a new 98-inch Samsung TV? What do you reckon?
That's a good point.
Might be cheaper just to get the telly.
Well, actually, love, outside of the Olympics, we might be able to get there for this price, but during the Olympics with accommodation prices and things,
it's going to be double that.
Let's just get a beautiful Neo QLED. 10,000,
that's nothing.
Neo QLED 8K with Stan 4K on it, upscaled. Whoa.
Yeah.
Because Stan's going to have the Olympics.
Stan's going to have the Olympics in 4K.
Well, I assume so.
Yeah, you'd expect so.
Yeah.
Is this the first 4K Olympics or the last ones? Rio? Was not Rio.
Tokyo.
Where was it? Tokyo. Was that 4K? I think it was the first 4K
Olympics.
Did Fox
still have them in 4K?
I think so.
In Australia?
I think so.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We're both old and forget.
But Samsung, well
done.
You
laughed it off. Well done.
Yeah, well done.
All of the details of Samsung's new TVs, techguide.com.au and EFTM.com.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Well, Samsung weren't the only TV brand at it this week with their new product. Hisense also stepped into the ring, and I've got to say, impressive. So brighter, bolder, bigger. You know, you can't go past, Trev. 110-inch TV.
Wild.
Now, I saw this, you saw this at CES.
I'm filthy.
I was stunned.
Yeah.
What are you filthy about?
Because someone's going to have a bigger TV.
Trevor can't handle someone being bigger than him, eh? Is that right?
But when it comes to TVs, you know, you've got to have your standards, folks.
So I think, and we've seen the mini LED. Mm. So this is mini LED. So to explain it, the Hisense's ULED technology is basically quantum dot with their picture engine. So it's basically similar to Samsung's QLED.
It is
technology.
A QLED. It is actually Neo in many cases, because Neo QLED for Samsung is mini LED with a quantum dot.
Yep.
ULED today for most of the ULED range is mini LED and quantum dot. So it is comparable. Let's be straight
Most
up.
Most definitely.
It's just confusing, unfortunately.
And Hisense prides itself too on the quality, the brightness, the dimming zones. I love how Hisense markets sort of the the dimming zones and explains it really well in terms of how many dimming zones there are, how many backlights there are.
Yeah.
Those numbers, I think, they play well because customers think, well, more means better.
Yeah.
And so 20,000 dimming zones on the UX, 5,000 on the U8 and U7 with Quantum Dot, Dolby Vision as well, Dolby Vision IQ, 144 hertz too, which is now standard across the whole ULED range, all those things I just mentioned, standard. And IMAX certification as well used to be only the U8 and above. Now it's across the board.
Yeah.
Big improvement.
Back on big TVs. So there's going to be three yep. for Hisense. There'll be 200 inches and the UX will be the 110. Yeah. Now, they haven't announced the pricing on the UX 110. That'll be later in the year.
What do you reckon?
And the U7N, they haven't revealed the pricing on because the pricing they've put in is last year's U7K.
Yeah.
Now,
so
it's strange.
Just to be clear, it's 6999 last year's pricing.
Last year's pricing, so you're last year's model.
Okay.
Right? So yeah. when they bring this year's model
U7N
out,
U7NAU.
I don't think it's going to be cheaper. I think it'll be more. I think it'll be 7.5.
Right.
Because their Q7NAU
yep.
is $6,000, $5,999.
Okay.
I don't know that $1,000 is enough to jump from the Q7 to the U7, but
yeah.
I think it's going to be $6,999 or less. Like that's the problem yeah. is it's going to be it's not a dramatic change like Samsung yeah. and LG have had. That's all I'm calling out.
Still,
Samsung's Hisense's
yeah.
argument there is we're always been value.
Yeah, right.
And they are.
Yeah, true. Yeah, but like I think the word that I used during CES and the word Hisense used was attainable. So okay. the attainable technology, like
yeah.
look. You, if you want $12,000 to drop, well, what are the Samsung 98-inch 8K QLEDs? And good luck to you, then you're doing very well. But and to be fair, Samsung also have their Crystal UHD, we mentioned, is going to be the more price-conscious choice for customers,
yep.
for them, for 98-inch.
But and we don't know what number these are going to drop in retail as well.
Yeah,
because $5,999 for the Q7,
yep.
that's got to drop at $5,499. Mm. And there will be times, I reckon pre-Olympics, that's a $5,000 TV.
Yeah.
Possibly even a 4.5.
Wow. So what do you reckon? Like the UXAU, which is the flagship
model,
110-inch. TBC
it's
is
got to be
price.
$9,999. It can't be more. Oh, it has to be
what?
More because a 75 is
$8,999,
isn't it?
75 is mate. I'm thinking it's going to be 12 or something.
$12,000.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Probably maybe more.
12 or 13
Do you remember last year? Remember
Hisense.
Do you remember the UX last year? I think they had a 65 and a 75. Or no, 55 and a 65.
Yeah.
The bigger TV was way more expensive than the one below
it. Is.
It.
And it's still now. Yeah. 65 yeah. inches, $5,000. The 75 inches, $9,000.
So what's that? So that's an extra 3,000, 4,000.
You're right. It's going to be 12 and a half, 13.
I think it'll be 13, 14 maybe, yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah. But it's 110 inches, but it's massive.
Okay, but let's be real. You're 100. You've got $13,000.
Yeah.
It just comes back to that thing. Am I trying to fill that space?
Yeah.
Or am I getting the best thing for $13,000?
Yeah. Okay.
Because this is a great, unbelievable TV.
Yeah.
But does it match a 77 or 85 OLED? Or does it match a QNED in EO 8K?
You open up your Samsung pricing. You
right.
got your Samsung pricing there. Okay.
Let's pretend I do, yep.
So if I want to, say I want to buy an 85-inch TV, right?
Yep. Well, here's the thing. They didn't actually put all their pricing in their press release. So some of it you've got to get on their website. So let me just go to Samsung's website. Great podcasting, people. If this was one of those US podcasts that have a producer over there, we'd be looking at the screen while they Google it. But this is us, folks.
Yep.
Men of the people.
Just real, real people.
We're Googling for ourselves, okay?
Yes.
All right, so TVs. What do you want? 85-inch.
So let's talk, because that's the size they've got in common, right? 85-inch. Right.
Yep.
So isn't it strange how the UXAU, right, the top size, so if you don't want 110, the next size down is 75. So there's no 85-inch in that area,
right.
in that class.
That's true.
So
do we
that's
need
a
to
big
look
drop.
At a 75 then.
So if you want an 85-inch TV, you don't want 100, then you need to look at the U8 or the U7.
Now, the X at 75 inches is how much?
8999.
Samsung Neo QLED 8K, 75-inch, 8999.
Whoa, really? So flagship, the flagship.
Hang on, what's the 65? 65, $6,499.
4,999.
That's where their difference is. They've got a smaller jump in price for Samsung. So I'll give you this. 85-inch Neo QLED 8K, $11,999. Now,
hang on, 75-inch.
If the price is the 75 is the same for Samsung and Hisense.
Yeah.
And the 85 for Samsung is 12 grand. The 110.
Yeah.
That could be 15 grand,
could
mate.
Could be bigger. Yeah, wow. Well, like you said before, the
that's
jump.
Wild.
Like, it's only $1,000. So the UXAU, $1,000, 55 to 65.
Mm.
Yet it's, what's that? So 5 to 9, it's 4,000 from 65 to 75. That extra 65 to 75 is a massive jump.
That
so can
make
you imagine
sense.
The jump from 75 to not 85, not 95, not 105, 110. So you're talking how many, 35 extra centimetres
there.
Honestly,
that doesn't make any sense. There's got to be a problem with
that's
that.
That's going to be double.
That
I think it's going to be double.
Wrong.
Like, no, well, 8999 for the 75
that's got to be wrong.
Well, that's straight out of their press release, mate. That's cut and pasted from their press release. The UXAU 75-inch, 8999. So the 110, mate, I'm thinking it's going to be 16,000. It's going to be maybe twice the price of the 75-inch. If they can bring that in under 14, or mate, under 13 would be a remarkable.
It must be right because last year's model, no, this does say new, 85-inch, 9999. 75-inch.
Which model?
4999.
Which
UXAU.
Well, they've only got 55, 65, 75, and 110.
Well, their website has a 75.
What?
That's 4999.
Oh, is that last year's model? But is
it
a runout?
It says new. And the model numbers are the same year on year.
UXAU. 75-inch is how much?
4999.
What? That's a typo. Because the new one, see here, on their press release
yes,
says
but what I'm saying, mate, is their press release is wrong and the website's
what?
Right.
What? How can that be?
Or, because the model numbers are the same, we're actually seeing...
I think that's last year's
last
model.
Year's model
that's
but last it's the same model number.
I'm going to look up the press release once again to make sure I'm not having a...
No, I've copied the same. I've got the same thing on my mate. Yeah. So you're 100%. It's not that.
Okay.
I don't know. Confusing. Not changing a model number doesn't help.
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
Put an extra letter or number
just
in there.
Just
hey?
Something, folks.
Yeah.
All right.
And we're happy to review the 110-inch, by the way, too, if you want to bring it around.
If someone's going to... Like, I'm not paying again to have someone change my frigging TV at home, okay?
Yeah. So that's with a 110-inch TV, right? I think I asked this question at CES. ISO says, how the hell are you going to get that home?
Well, I suppose to Jeremy Senior about
special service.
About just big TVs, 98s and things, because they've got three 98s at Samsung, right? It's a two-man lift guaranteed, and there are some retailers who, for OH&S reasons, are saying it's a four-man lift.
What?
So
the 110-inch would be a five-man lift then. That's a lot. It's going to be a heavy, not only heavy,
mate,
but it's big.
It was the biggest
big and
box
unwieldy.
I've ever seen when the 100 came into my house.
Yeah, wow. So imagine the 110.
Mate, it's just wild.
Wowee.
Wild.
Love to see it. I did see it at CES. It was absolutely gobsmacking at CES. Would you agree?
100%.
It was amazing.
And by the way, we still haven't got TCL's announcement for their 115.
15, geez.
So they're gonna pit them at the post Olympic style.
So with 110's not due till June? Is it June? May,
say.
June?
Doesn't say.
Before the Olympics.
Will it be? I don't know.
Well, it's June is before the Olympics.
But is it in June?
The press release never said that either, did it?
No, I think so.
It just said TBC.
Exactly.
May onwards.
Hmm.
Which could be June, could be July.
Could be December.
I doubt it.
I'm just saying.
I doubt it.
Without the presence
positive,
of facts,
mate.
I can't be sure.
Fair enough, mate.
All right,
fair
we'll enough. Let you know, though. All the details at techguide.com.au and EFTM.com.
Everything about tech you never wanted to know. This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Thanks to the great people at Netgear, the Orbi range will light up your home with Wi-Fi, cover your home in a dome of Wi-Fi, full speed, everything you're paying for. If you're paying for high-speed internet, right, you're getting gigabit internet. By the way, that's going to get faster if you've got HFC. It's going to be up to 750 to 900 meg instead of the 600 to 700 you're getting now. But anyway, moving on, if you're paying for really high-speed internet and you've got the latest devices, you've got Samsung's latest phone or you've got latest laptops, which have got the latest connectivity technology, none of that matches together without the best connectivity in between. So get yourself an Orbi Wi-Fi system with the latest technology so that even if you've only got one of those fancy new devices, in a few years from now you'll have many more and they'll all be able to take advantage of the high speeds, the range, the efficiency of the network. That's what Netgear does. Finding the perfect Orbi is very easy. A few simple questions on their website, netgear.com.au, will take you right to the product finder. Find your Orbi, and it'll help you find the best product for you. Check it out, netgear.com.au.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fenech.
Now, earlier today, some radio, someone, somewhere sent me a link to an ABC online article about an Optus customer losing $10,000, their digital identity in a phone porting SIM swap scam. Bottom line, bloke lost $10,000.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a bit confused by this, so I investigate, I talk to Optus as best I can, I try to understand how does someone lose money, and also how does a porting scam happen, because you and I have ported our phone numbers many a time. When you get a new SIM from a new telco, you go to make the switch, you get a text to your old SIM saying, did you approve this?
Did you authorise this, yes.
So like, here's, you got to click here, you got to authorise a code or something like that, right? Yep. You get a text to your old number.
Yep.
There's a screenshot on the ABC website that says, Optus, we haven't received a response from you so far for the SIM replacement request, so your SIM will be replaced. We'll go ahead shortly. That's a SIM replacement, not a SIM porting situation. Right. So let me explain the two different scenarios here. A SIM replacement, and the example I gave at EFTM is you're out on the harbour on a boat and you drop the phone over the edges in the bottom of the harbour.
Yep.
Or you drop it off a bridge and you can't dive down and get your phone. You've lost your phone.
Yeah. And the SIM. Yep.
So you go to Optus, Telstra, Vodafone, whoever, and you say, lost my phone. I've got a new one here. Can I get a new SIM card?
Yeah. Same number.
They give you a new bit of plastic.
Yep.
They authorise you for your ID and everything, and they give you a new bit of plastic, and your old phone number, your normal number, works on that bit of plastic.
Yep.
So it's like when you lose your SIM breaks or your phone breaks or whatever. It's a legitimate thing, and it can't be done unless you authenticate your identity with the telco, right?
So SIM swap and porting has to be authorised.
That's a SIM swap.
Yes.
Nothing to do with porting. Yeah. That's a SIM swap.
Right.
A SIM porting is when you go to its servo, you grab a Boost Mobile SIM or a Lebara or someone like that, and you put it in a new phone and you follow the instructions and it says, you know, do you want to keep your number? Yes, I do. I want my number.
Yep.
I want to keep my number. It goes through a process saying, what's your old telco? What's your account number? What's your date of birth? A few personal details.
Yep.
And it submits and then it sends an SMS to your active existing number with Optus, whoever you're with, and says, do you really want to do this? This is going to happen. If you don't do something, it's going to happen.
Yep.
And you have to essentially authorize it. And then your new service becomes active on Lebara or Boost or wherever you are.
Yep.
That's SIM porting.
Yep.
What happened to this chap is both. Ooh. But it happened in sequence, and this is really critical. They did not port his number away to another telco first. First thing they did, my guess, I haven't spoken to the guy and I haven't forensically looked at it, but let me tell you what happened. His details were on the dark web. His email address appeared a few times, 16 different passwords. Hackers went, all right, let's get into his Gmail. They tried every password. They got in. They got into his email.
Yep.
Then they went, looked through his emails for invoices. Oh, he's an Optus customer. Okay. They went to Optus. My Optus. Let's reset the password. Mm. They've reset the password. How does that happen? Through your email. Hey, they've got access to your email. They've approved the reset password. They've got a new password. They're in the Optus app. They request a new SIM, a SIM swap, probably with an eSIM because it happens instantly.
Yep.
They get an eSIM. They download it on their phone. They activate it. It might take an hour. It might take three, but they activate it. This guy then gets a text message saying, we've swapped your SIM. All good. Happy days.
Yeah.
His phone stops working because his SIM is no longer active. The scammer now has an Optus phone number with an Optus account and the My Optus app and details.
Yeah.
Then they go to Joe Bloggs Telecom, get a SIM card, and port the number away using his details and everything they know about him. And then they log onto his bank and they request a $10,000 transfer. And what does that happen? Sends an SMS to his number, which is now with Joe Bloggs Telco, in the hands of the scammer. He puts in the four-digit code. Money's transferred. You've lost 10 grand. It's not a simple SIM porting scam.
And let's face it too, unlucky. The guy just happened to be one person plucked out of someone's details in the dark web.
There's 10 million people who are scammed out of Medibank, Latitude, Optus. There's a bunch of people's details online. Yeah. This is what they're trying to do to you.
So pretty technical too.
You need to have
sophisticated
alerts on every email.
Yeah.
You need to be alert for weird emails that come in about changing passwords that you didn't do.
Yeah.
And if you get them a lot, like I get these weird ones, booking.com. Someone's trying to log into my booking.com account. Good luck.
What?
I've never used it. It doesn't have a credit card on it, but good luck. So I get them so often, I went, you know, I'm going to change the password anyway, just to be sure.
Okay.
You've got to respond to those
and
things.
Two-factor authentication for everything. Like, so the warning you get when you're porting a number is like a form of two-factor authentication.
Exactly,
isn't
yes.
it? So if you don't have two-factor authentication,
and look,
you're in trouble.
I would argue that you move as quickly as you can away from SMS two-factor authentication. I don't know if you use any apps, but I use what's
yeah,
mine called?
Authy.
Yeah, I use Authy.
Yeah, I got that.
So if I want to log into my – oh, it's going to make me change my password – I've got my Xero accounts, my Gmail, my Instagram, my Facebook.
Gmail. I haven't got Gmail. I'm going to put Gmail
my
in there.
My CoinSpot crypto account, my domain accounts, even my Uber account has Authy. So if you log in, if I said now live on our podcast, my Uber account email address and password, you can't log in unless you've got my Authy.
Yeah.
Even if you port, even if you port my phone number away, you can't get in.
Yeah, I've got Authy for Xero. Yep. Net registry, you know, my for
your
my
domains,
site,
yeah.
my domains, and Twitter, because Twitter don't remember how Twitter they went away from
SMS or something. Yeah,
yeah. But so you're saying you can do it for Gmail as well?
I'm pretty sure
Gmail.
Yeah,
I'm going to switch.
Google has an authenticator app as well. That's great.
Facebook,
I would use.
Google normally uses
YouTube app.
Yeah,
yes.
YouTube or something else. That's
pretty,
pretty solid.
Secure. Yeah,
pretty solid.
But look, I guess. It's just one of those things where I go, this story could blow out of proportion a bit.
Yeah.
And it is bad. I feel really sorry for Mr. Ant. Someone here. And noise. someone, Mr. Ryder. Andrew Ryder.
Ryder.
From Townsville. He's a business owner. I feel bad for him. I really do.
That's shocking.
But it's like this story is written. Optus customer loses $10,000. This story is written to abuse Optus. Mm-hmm. And this is not Optus's fault.
No, it's nothing to do with it. You're absolutely right.
So, unfortunately, we can't blame Optus for that.
No,
I think
not at
it's
all.
Poorly written in that sense.
Definitely.
So, we're going to be recording for another hour here. Sorry, man. So, sorry. Someone just walked into the office. that's all right. So, I just worry about how it's blown out of proportion a bit.
Yeah.
Like, it's blaming Optus on this thing.
Well, it's not real. Well, but no. So the
I'm the best. I'm happy to bag Optus for the best.
But the SIM swap, though, the SIM swap should he have received a notification for that? Or did he receive a notification for that? Or did he authorize it by mistake?
He didn't.
Right.
And the message he shows on the ABC website says we haven't received a response from you.
Yeah.
So look, maybe there was one. Maybe he ignored it. I don't know. But even if there was, like this. Let me all that stuff I just explained in 5 minutes could theoretically be done in real time in that amount of time.
Yeah.
Because if you're the scammer, you've got it all listed there for you. The websites are open and everything, mate. If I was in your email, Stephen, I reckon I could reset your Facebook account faster than you'd get the email on your phone, realize that it's something weird going on, and then go to your computer and stop it from happening.
Right. But
that's how powerful your email is.
But don't you have to get the notifications on Facebook? Isn't it? Can't you choose? Like I don't get it. It comes through on Facebook as a notification.
It doesn't matter. The example is if I'm in your email, this bloke's email was hacked. I've got no doubt about
right.
it.
Right. Okay.
That's the risk. Yeah.
So because he never had two-factor authentication
on
the email.
Yeah.
So there's right. Okay.
You've got to work on that.
Unlucky.
Very unlucky.
Unlucky.
Anyway, the details and all the kind of how to protect yourself are up at EFTM.com.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Well, the 3G shutdown is approaching, and we should talk about the fact that Telstra are being a bit proactive on this front. They are going to have a SMS service so that you can tell if your device needs replacing.
Yeah.
So basically what they've done, they set up the service because they're shutting their network down on June 30, 2024.
Yep.
And customers can then text to a special number. So if you text the number 3 to 3498.
Very hard to explain, isn't it? Have you done this on the radio?
Not yet, no.
So hard to explain.
So what you do if from the phone that you think, is it going to work?
Yeah.
You send the text from that device and it'll send you a message back to either say it's time to act, you have to change, or it'll say, thanks for using the checker, your device is compatible. So basically... Yeah. You are,
and so
you're
we talked.
All good.
We talked recently about the minister's issues, right?
Yep.
With this whole switch off, and Telstra said there's 113,000 people using 3G phones right now on their network.
Yep.
Okay, so that's 100,000 people that urgently need to do something, right? Plus, there's probably another many hundred thousands who are using 4G phones that are not Vulti compatible, yeah. which won't be able to call 000 after the switch off.
That's the issue too. Yeah,
that
yeah.
is what you can check yeah. with this. So this yes. simple text the number 3.
So this checks the VoLTE compatibility.
Also checks yeah. VoLTE compatibility. Yeah. The number yeah. 3 to 3498. Now, this is not about our listeners. Our listeners
and this is just for Telstra customers,
right?
yeah?
Yes. Oh, Telstra Belong customers. And Boost works as well. I've had okay. people test
right.
it.
So any Telstra network no. users?
Aldi, no. Oh, Belong and Boost, because really? They're actually Telstra customers. Oh. It all works, right?
Okay, right.
But
not Aldi customers?
No, because they're not really Telstra customers.
Okay.
They're a separate business.
They've got a separate pocket of the Telstra
yes.
network.
Okay. Whereas Boost and Belong are just Telstra customers yeah. under a new marketing brand, right?
Righto.
The thing I worry about is not our audience. They've all got 4G and 5G phones.
Yeah.
You've got to think about your neighbour. You've got to think about your parents, your grandparents.
Yeah, exactly
the people
right.
that have got a
yeah.
good phone. It's been yeah. a great phone for like 10 years or so. Can I have that back, please? They've had a great phone for like 10 years yep. or so. And they think it's going to work for a while,
yep.
but it's like they're the ones that are going to dial 000 next month or something.
Absolutely, yeah.
And not be able to do
that. And when
that.
It's too late, so the worst case scenario is that you haven't done this check, no one's checked on you.
Oh, no.
You need to ring 000 after the 3G shutdown and you can't.
Yeah.
That's the big issue.
And let's be, yeah. I'll say it again, the time you find out your phone doesn't work
yeah,
is when you need 000.
Yeah, exactly right. So you got till June. End of June, if you're a Telstra customer, end of September. Is it September if you're an Optus customer?
And Optus, I spoke yeah. to Optus. They don't yeah. have a similar tool, a checker.
Yeah.
They're just basically saying, yeah. please check. And
go
and
into a store.
We're talking to our customers. Yeah. They're communicating with you and all
well,
that
Telstra
kind of jazz.
Well, Telstra says to take, if you're not sure, take your device, show the SIM, the SMS, if you're not sure of it, into a yeah. store. Or there's even a number you can ring as well. So you can ring 132200 as well if you want to find that out also.
Mm.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, all the details at EFN.com. I'm going to lock the door from now on.
Good idea, mate.
Kevin, he's a neighbour.
Yeah.
But I think he was going to wait here until we finished the show.
Yeah, right. You'd be waiting a while. If you're wondering why we're looking off screen, yeah, he's one of his tenant neighbours here, mate. Just, is he a nice guy?
Lovely, lovely, lovely bloke. Lovely bloke.
Okay. And, are you going to share what he wrote on that bit of paper, mate? Or?
Took a while too. No, yeah. On the weekend they're going to use a crane to trim some trees, and so I can't use my car park over there, so.
Damn.
I normally
is that
leave
why,
a car.
Is that why didn't he just leave that note on your door? He just walked in.
He didn't
in.
Have a pen and paper? I don't okay. know. And then
I like how Trev said, we're going to be recording for another hour, mate.
And he goes,
write it down here.
He goes, can I write it down? And the only piece of paper near me is the rundown.
Yeah.
So I turn the page and then I think, does Stephen know what's next in the show?
Of course I know what's next, mate. I'm a pro, mate.
All right, well, here's what's next.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fenech.
Two Blokes Talking Tech, proudly supported by Arlo. And you know what? Arlo make a great range of cameras. We know they're essential cameras, they're floodlight cameras, they're doorbells. But you know what? You can make it even better if you choose to sign up to Arlo Secure. Arlo Secure can store up to 30 days of video events and recordings from anywhere. So if you've got multiple cameras, you're able to have them all stored up in the cloud.
Talk to our yeah. audience.
And you can also then set up smart notifications. And by that I mean you can find out whether your notification is a person,
mm-hmm.
a package, a vehicle, or an animal. So you're not going to get those nuisance notifications of trees swaying in the breeze or cars driving past your house, which can be annoying. You'll get smarter notifications that matter. So customize also the areas that your camera detects. So again, another reason to have this smart, the Arlo Secure is that the case I just mentioned where you see cars or trees swaying in the breeze, you can just aim the camera to only detect movement in this area here. So you can actually set it up for and receive notifications for this area, these activity zones, wherever you prefer. And that's all part of Arlo Secure. So, yes, having your 30 days of video stored up in the cloud is a great help, a great advantage. But these other features, the smart notifications, setting up where you want your notifications to come from is an ideal scenario as well.
And if you're like me and you're at work and you want to see what your new gutters look like, you can just log into your Arlo and look at the gutters.
There you go.
They are beautiful.
Happy days. So, yes, protect your home, protect your business, protect what's important for you, Arlo.com.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.
Do you know when you're at big tech shows and you walk around, you see something, you think, should I have known about that?
Yeah.
Like, it's a big brand or a big thing, yep. and you think, what the hell? I was walking around IFA. It was not MWC. IFA. It was IFA in September.
Okay.
And there was a stand. It wasn't big. It was as big as this podcast studio, right?
Right.
And it was the Find My Network by Google.
Ooh.
And I'm like, hang on a minute.
Do they call it Find My as well?
It's Find My Phone Network or something like that. Oh. Find My Device Network.
Okay.
And I thought, what's that? And then so it turns out...
Apple's got no copyright on the word find, obviously.
Obviously not. it turns out it's essentially the same thing as the Apple AirTags. Now, they have launched this in the US now. It's coming to the rest of the world. But there's something they're waiting for. And this is a fascinating thing. Basically, they've broadly said, I don't think they made a public statement, but broadly they've said, we're waiting for Apple to support it. So you know how now, and I get this a lot on because I'm still using an Android phone, an AirTag is traveling with you.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't say unknown device. It says an Apple AirTag is traveling with you.
Yeah.
And you can do all the same things.
So you get the notifications on your Android, yeah.
All the same things you can do as an Apple iPhone user with an AirTag near you, you can do on here. You can see that it's an AirTag. You can make it beep. You can do all those things, right?
Yep.
You get a map of where it's tracked you. It's brilliant.
Nice.
Google has been waiting for Apple to include cross-platform unknown tracker alerts on the iPhone.
Yes.
Which I think is unbelievably noble of them because essentially Find My is unbelievable. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
But the big narc in the world is it's being used for stalking. Now, I'm not downplaying the seriousness of that.
Yes.
But we have to understand that every technology gets used for evil and good and it is just is what it is, right?
Yeah.
But Apple has improved their systems and all those things to make it better, and it's as good as it can ever be. But what Google said is, we don't think we can put these products into the world unless iPhones can also let people know if there's someone with them. So I think that's great. I think that's admirable.
Yeah. And just on that, you know, you get those alerts that are AirTags following you.
Yeah.
It just really makes it easy for the thief. The thief is going to get a notification there's an AirTag following them. If they steal your stuff, you get an AirTag.
Yeah, but you don't get it within 2 minutes.
No, I know. You get it like within an hour or so, don't you? So
no, sometimes I don't get it for 6 hours.
Yeah, okay.
It's variable. There's no set time.
I'll give you an example. A good mate of mine had his e-bike stolen. Mm. So they cut through the chain to get his e-bike.
Yep.
And he was using Find My to track them to from Little Bay to Redfern. They jumped on a train at St. Peter's and went up here. And then 90 minutes in, 2 hours in, the AirTag disappeared. They lost it.
Battery pulled
it. Well, no, they knew there was an AirTag there and it potentially could have been them being warned that there's an AirTag following them. So whether
the reason it stops tracking is because they pulled the bloody thing out.
Or they just found the AirTag and threw it away. They left it somewhere on the street.
Well, then it would have still been tracked. They tracked it
to the gutter where they dropped it.
Exactly,
It's
Well, here's my advice. If you're someone that's trying to protect your bike or your whatever it is, there's key rings, but there are some seriously secure and free shout out to Derek at Try and Byte, TryandByte. Tryandbyte.com.au. They've got a category of, I think, devices. If you go devices and Apple AirTag, there's a bunch of vaults. The brand is called Tag Vault. Now, I've got one downstairs. It's like a keychain, but you can't get to the AirTag without like a bloody tiny Allen key.
Mm-hmm.
So if this thing is beeping, tracking, you would need to rip the key ring off. But then there's ones that can be like screw mounted in. You know, on a bicycle, they have the bottle.
The seat. Bottle holder, yeah.
You take the bottle holder off and there's one that goes underneath the bottle holder and screws in. So they'd have to unscrew the whole bottle holder.
They'd have to
work out where it is for a start.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, wow.
So put a bit of extra effort in. Like I've got an AirTag in the Cupra.
Yep.
Okay? I know it will make a noise if they try and make it, you know, tell you where it is. But it's going to take them 15 minutes to find it and to get it out.
Okay.
So I believe that in that time, I'll definitely be in the car and I'll be on the police.
Yeah, right.
And I think I'll have a good chance of at least knowing more about it.
My app on my Merc can tell me where the car is.
Oh yeah,
there's a SIM card. Yeah, yeah.
So can my dash.
Yeah, of course. Yeah,
but if they're stealing a Mercedes Benz, I tell you right now, they know where the SIM card is. They're ripping the SIM card out.
Where is the SIM card? I don't know.
But
don't tell them.
I'm tipping before they steal it, they're going to work that out.
Yeah, you reckon? Yes. Are they that specialised, you reckon?
Yes.
That would know that? To target those sort of vehicles?
Yes.
Come on, mate.
Yes.
That's like sounds like a SIM swap scam.
Every day.
Out of a car.
every day
what
of the week.
What the hell is going
but
on?
But I think the balance that we've found between the AirTag being great for helping find things and the concern around stalking and domestic violence and all those things.
Fair call.
Look, if it was me, I'd push it more towards preventing the theft.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm not saying I don't want to prevent domestic violence. I'm just saying the tracking part of it, like it's such a low part of the of the problem.
I reckon, the mongrel factor is probably 1%. Of AirTag use.
I'll tell you right now, and this is a horrible thing to know if you're being stalked and you've got a domestic violence issue. Mate, you can get trackers that don't expose themselves like this.
Yeah.
That have I'll give you an example. I'm not trying to help out the stalkers here, but you could go and buy a pet tracker which has a 4G you can put a 4G SIM card in it and a decent battery. And you know what? If you could some way auxiliary power that in the car through the glove box while you get 2 minutes access to it, that thing's going to track. It's never going to beep.
Yeah,
it's never going to alert you on your mobile phone.
A pet doesn't have a phone to say they're tracking you.
Put it this way. If it's not a Find My device or a Find My device thing from Google, it's not going to have these anti-stalking features.
Right. But I think the reason that these do have it is because they're the easiest accessible.
True.
The most obvious choice for people.
If the governments think this is something that needs to be done, which they haven't said, but they clearly put pressure on, why aren't they making any tracking device do the same thing?
Yeah, okay.
I'm telling you,
so
it's
like
a bigger problem.
Even like probably GPS, like
it's a bigger problem than AirTags.
Yeah,
it just is.
Okay, and I remember when this issue came up, and I raised this with Apple. I said, look, if you're going to give it when this notification, like the anti-stalking notifications came up. And I contacted them, and their answer was, look, these products are designed for you to find your devices and it's not meant to be...
I don't think that... They did see it coming because they worked with networks of, like, domestic violence or women's networks and things at the time. Remember when they announced it?
No, but if you're using this solely to keep track of your items, not to track people, then this little giveaway designed to prevent stalking is going to alert the thieves. And their response, as I said, was... Well, it's meant for you to find your devices and...
Yeah, it's actually meant if you find stuff around the home. Not
It's not meant to be tracked across the city to find your stolen
It's bloody good at it, though.
Yeah, of course.
Bloody good at it.
Of course.
All right, details of that Google stuff is up at EFTM.com and you can read more about it.
This is Two Blokes Talking Tech with Trevor Long and Stephen Fennec.
It's going to be a real edit today because that dropped out.
Yeah, it dropped out again.
Just during the track.
Damn it. Did the battery already run out or is there something wrong with the
91%.
Camera?
91%.
Really?
So a good point. It could be the camera.
Could be the camera.
Yeah.
You had a 91% battery.
I've got spares, so we'll be all right.
Okay. Doing very well. Yeah. I've got spares.
I've got them up here. I was testing.
Yeah, I noticed. Yeah. What are you doing new angles
Long
for?
Long story, but I thought those poles.
Oh, my God. This one up there, too.
I thought those poles would be able to be used here on the desk. So I could get rid of the tripods, just clean it up a bit.
Yeah.
But then it puts the cameras too close and then the wide shot doesn't work. Oh,
bit of inside baseball here. I use those poles in my where I record my videos at home so they're not connected to my desk.
Yes.
So I've got a little frame in front of the desk that uses the pole. So I don't have a tripod sticking out. So it's pretty neat behind the desk.
Did Aaron make the frame?
No, I bought it.
What sort of frame?
It's a metal frame. Yeah.
What do you mean?
It's a metal frame that's used. It's normally designed for people who want to do a top-down shot. So I just put it on the floor, raise it to its highest level, and use that pole to...
Is it square-edged or
circle? Yeah, square-edged. Yeah.
I might need to get one for down there. That might work.
I will show you the ones I purchased.
Yeah, but what are the legs on it?
Big black legs. So it's very
annoying. I'm trying to get rid of the legs.
No. They're flat on the floor, though.
Flat on the floor.
Flat right angle edge.
A lot of inside baseball here this week on Two Blokes Talking Tech.
We'll fix you up. We'll sort him out.
This show's going to take me 5 hours to edit.
We'll sort him out.
For reasons that are not relevant to you, folks.
Yeah.
But I will put in the yards.
Damn right. Good for you, mate. Good for you.
Hard yards.
That's what we do here, mate. We put in the extra effort.
That's what I do. You do for the movie show.
I drive out here, mate. That's my effort. I've got to get out of here.
Dry your eyes, princess. All right. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Everything about tech you never wanted to know. This is Two Blokes Talking Tech.